Good morning. You all can say, where have you been? Well, I spent a couple of weeks with my dear family, which isn't an easy thing to pull off because my son and my oldest son and my grandson live in Walla Walla, Washington, if some of you know where that is. It used to be the onion capital of the United States, but it's quickly becoming the wine capital. So it's changing. It's going through a lot of changes. And let's see if Marty adjusted this mic for his ear. Let's see if it works for mine. It does. Okay, that's pretty good. Let's see if I get this all straight. Okay, I want to try something this morning. And I'll turn this off so we won't have any distortions. Here, I'll let you turn it off. Anyways, I'm gonna try something this morning. We've done different things over the years, but sometimes when we're trying to get a point across, and it's in there, it's in your heart, it's in your mind, it absorbs you, and often words really aren't adequate to describe or explain it. And what I'm trying to talk about here this morning, and I've kind of been touching on this over the past few months, but I want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. What is the essence of the kingdom of heaven? You know, we talk a lot about, you know, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus very clearly stated that he came to establish that kingdom. And he was really the essence of the kingdom of heaven. And you think, well, okay, so what is it? Right? Go ahead, tell me. Okay, he said love, all right? Boom. What else?
It exists. It's there.
Okay, it's this, she says. And he said love, so love then really, Jesus himself said, okay, that when he described his father, he said, my father is what? Is love. All right? And over and over and over again, the Bible reminds us that for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. And Jesus reminds us over and over. In fact, some of the last words that Jesus said. You know, when you think of somebody who knows that they're on their way to a situation where they are going to be put to death, sometimes, I think most of the time, whatever they say has incredible power behind it, incredible depth behind it. And Jesus, very clearly, in the last few hours and later on when he ascended into heaven, left his disciples with some very important, deep feeling from his heart. And one of them was simply this. In fact, he prayed a prayer. Father, I pray that, what? They will be one as you and I are one. And then he goes on and he talks about loving one another. And this says, this commandment I leave with you. A new commandment. You know, you read that and you just keep on reading and you go, oh, okay. But when Jesus says a new commandment, the word new, that's interesting, isn't it? That you what?
Love each other.
Love one another. A new commandment. Now, was it really brand new? Or was it restating something that maybe humanity had forgotten over time? And how often do we forget over time how important God's love for us is? Because the fruit of God's love for humanity is eternal life. Eternal life. I know that's hard to comprehend. That's hard to describe. What does that mean to us? We're not accustomed to the concept or the idea of living forever and ever and ever. Even though science says they can eventually accomplish that. Okay, we'll let them try. So far it's all theory. Pretty much everything science comes up with is theory, based on evidence or facts that they find, and they throw it all together and they call it a theory. But the promise, and a promise is different. A promise is based on absolute reality, and the reality is that God is love. And he loves us so much so that he gave us the very best, his only begotten Son. He took the Trinity and took a piece of the Trinity and took it out and inserted it into humanity. He gave us his very best. Okay? Now, there's something that, as I was studying this week, and I'm becoming more and more aware of it, because I do like to study society and trends and changes that take place in meanings of words and changes that take place in society, redefining concepts, redefining more than just concepts, redefining how we think and what we do in society. And I've come to realize, and this was underlined by one of the quotations that I will share with you by one of the authors that I'm reading his book. And I want you to think about this, because it really got me thinking about this whole thing of love. And this is what it said. Love is not God. Think about that. The Bible tells us God is love, yes. Now, love is a fruit, it's a byproduct, it's a fruit of a connection with God. In fact, we know the fruits of the Spirit are, you know, love is number one. You notice that? It's number one. It's the first one. It's the first fruit that, as humans, as Christians, that we pick from the tree that God has given us. Now, for a moment, you brought one of those fruit for me. Okay. I'm gonna ask Matthew to help me for a second here to do a little role playing. And I'm going to focus for a moment on this tree up here. All right? This is what? It's a symbol of Jesus' death on the cross. It's a symbol of salvation through Jesus Christ. What was accomplished on the cross, you and I can freely partake of. It is a tree. The Bible talks about he who is hung on a tree is cursed. Jesus was hung on the tree. He was cursed for our sake so that he could come forth victorious from that curse. That curse was death. He came forth a resurrected Lord. Amen. So that tree is symbolic. This cross made of wood is symbolic of a time when God gave it all so that we could have it all. And so I'm a blind man. I'm wandering around. I'm blind. And I can't see. I can still hear, still talk. And Matthew, I need some fruit. I need some fruit. Can you give me some fruit? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sit down for a minute and I'll ask you to come again. Okay, so I can't see what this is. It's a fruit. Oh, okay. It smells familiar. It feels like it could be squash. But it's long. I think I kind of know what it is if it's actually a fruit. It grows hanging from a tree, right? Like this. And it's either... If I could cut it and taste it, it would taste like a fruit that I'm familiar with. It would probably be, I'm guessing it's a papaya.
Yeah.
Am I right? Okay, so this is my reality. This is the fruit that I've been given. And how long will this fruit, let me open my eyes for a minute. How long is this fruit going to last? It might last, you think it might last a couple days? Maybe a couple days, maybe a week? How about if I put it in the refrigerator, you think it'll last maybe even a little bit longer? Okay. But eventually it's going to what? Wither and die and return to the earth, right? Now, if it were still connected to the tree, it might live a little longer, possibly. Mm-hmm. In fact, the longer you leave it on the tree, the sweeter the fruit is. I don't know if you know that. This one probably was picked weeks ago. Okay, so you've given me something that is good to eat. It smells good. It tastes good. It's healthy for me. It's all those wonderful things. But that's all I know. That's all I know about this. Okay, but now, Matthew, and put this down. Please lead me to the source of that fruit. Show me the way, my friend. Okay? Now make sure I don't trip. Oh, okay, there we go. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, look at the speaker.
Okay, show me the source. Oh. I see. Okay. It's wood. It's wood. Oh, wow. This is interesting. It has arms. Mm-hmm. It actually has arms. Okay. All right. This is a tree. It's made of wood. And down. Oh, does it have roots?
It does.
Okay. So this is the tree of life, huh?
That's right.
Eternal life. This is where the fruit came from.
This is where it rested.
This is where it rested. The eternal life. Was there a man on this tree?
There was.
What was his name?
His name was Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And he represented what?
Life everlasting.
Oh, so there are roots down here somewhere. Oh, there they are. Okay, there are roots. Okay. I can see now. I can see clearly now that the sun has come. How's that? We'll change that song. All right, so there, the tree of life, eternal, is Jesus Christ. Amen? The fruit of that was what you gave me, the fruit. The fruit of eternal life, the fruit of the kingdom of heaven, is love. And what does love do for me?
It nourishes
me. It fills me. It turns me into a whole different person. But when I get disconnected from the vine, Jesus said, I am the vine. If I get disconnected from the vine, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to wither. So I have to stay connected. Every day I have to stay connected. Paul says I die daily so that I can be connected to Jesus. So Jesus, as he said, is the I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. He also said I am the vine. And if you separate yourself from the vine, you're going to die. If you stay connected to the vine, you're going to live. This is life eternal. Isn't that right? And that life eternal doesn't come through me being on my own, all right? It comes from being connected to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. Now, just to back that up a little bit more, let's take a look at the book where we can find a passage of Scripture in John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. Man, in my Bible, this is like marked all over and underlined and comments all around it, because I realize that this passage of Scripture defines for me and describes for me a relationship that is eternal and it is salvific. In other words, it brings salvation. And the words of Jesus said, quotes, I am the true vine. Mm-hmm. And my Father in heaven, your Father also, is the gardener. I have a much bigger appreciation for my gardener. I have a guy that comes and helps mow my lawn, but my wife and I do the gardening. And I hate to tell you, but we just planted a new little mound with flowers and a Japanese gazebo that I moved from the front yard, and then some rocks, and to make it look kind of nice. But in the 2 weeks that I've had those new flowers, the fresh flowers, and been watering them every day because it's been very hot, I have a new appreciation for having to pull weeds. And I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, you just added a whole nother day of weed pulling to our routine here. I mean, those little guys are just popping up everywhere. I mean, all over the place. Okay? And so I appreciate the job of the gardener. And here he says, my father is the gardener. And what does he do? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Wow. That alone, we could probably go and launch into a whole other direction. Well, not really, because we're going to keep going here. So the gardener, God, comes along and he cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he what? He prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, wait a minute. I thought only the branches that didn't bear fruit got cut on. I don't like the idea of me being cut on. Does anybody like to be cut on? Do you like to be pruned? I mean, I don't have to worry about it because I don't have to have haircuts. Y'all have to worry about that. But my wife keeps telling me I do need to be pruned right here. This thing, you know. Yeah, don't worry, it's coming off. But here's the thing. Part of being connected to the vine is that the Father is going to come by when he feels necessary to not cut us off unless we're not bearing fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, he's going to cut us off. But to prune us so that we will produce more fruit. And what's the first fruit of being connected?
Love.
That's enough, don't you think? Just love? Y'all got that one down? I'll tell you, it's much easier to keep the list of 10 that we like so much to hold out there than it is to love your enemy.
Love is not a word.
Thank you very much. It is an action. In fact, that's the whole point of what I said earlier, that what? Love is not God, but God is love. Because when we connect ourselves with the vine, when we connect with the vine, and the Father comes and he cares for us and nurtures us and waters us through the power of his Holy Spirit, and we become productive vines, the fruit then begins to show on those vines. And I love the concept or the idea that love is the first fruit that shows. Now, if you're like me, you're going, oh, okay. Yeah, I got to reprioritize how I see this whole thing. Because as sure as I stand here, because I'm there too, as sure as I stand here, you have a list of priorities in your mind that you think are going to keep you connected to the vine. Okay? I know you do. I know you got them. We have a list. I do. Check, 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 check. Okay. I'm a good Christian. But Jesus made it very clear that the greatest of all, the greatest of these is love. So that's where we start. And you say, well, okay, but love, love, love. Yeah, we hear about love. We sing about love. We read about love. We love all this thing about love because it just really makes us. And what we end up doing is we end up worshiping love and not the source of love. Remember the Apostle Paul when he went into Mars Hill, and here were all these great philosophers, and they were all standing around talking about, well, the attributes of this God and the philosophy of this great, you know, theologian or philosopher, and they were all sitting around talking, and then they look at him and they go, he looks like a pretty sharp cookie. So what do you think, Paul? And Paul says, you know, I've been walking through your town. I've been looking around. And you have idols all over your town that you worship, that you bow down to. And he says, but I noticed there was one that said to the unknown God, let me tell you about who that person is. Just in case you didn't know, you've been worshiping the fruits of that God. You're worshiping nature, you're worshiping animals, you're worshiping all these other deities, but the very source of all these things came from one God in heaven. See? And they sit there and they go, wow, that's heavy. That's heavy stuff. Now, it's so easy for us as humans, and especially today, to identify one element or one aspect of God and say, okay, well, that's God. All right? And so we're going to stick with that. Let me ask you this question. If somebody were to come up to you, let's say you have a child or you have somebody who loves you deeply, and they ask you, could you tell me what... Define in one word who that what that person is and what they're like. And you were to say, oh yeah, they're always angry. Or, oh, they're just love. Or, you know, describing in one word. That would not be fair, would it? Because, yes, we get angry sometimes. Some of us get hangry. You know what that is? Pam does. I know what it is. Some of us have got to have food immediately. It's called being hangry. Okay? But if we can be defined only by one word, really? No. To describe anyone, you're going to use many, many words to describe them. To describe God as, oh, God is just love. I'm sorry, folks. God himself doesn't describe himself as just love. Love, yes, is a starting point. But he has many, many words throughout the scriptures that define attributes. It's like looking at a diamond, you know. A diamond has many facets, and the light shines forth and shines into and shines out of those facets and makes it very beautiful and very sparkly. And you cannot describe God in one dimension. God has many dimensions, and he has many attributes to his character. Now, love is probably, well, that's number one. But there's many, many other ways to describe God, and he does describe himself in many different ways. So, in this passage of scripture, go back to John 15. He is saying here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So often we are so obsessed with this idea of being clean. I have one dog that's obsessed with being clean and another one that could care less. And the one that could care less went out the other night and got into it with a skunk. And her little activity basically permeated our house and the other dogs for the next 3 days until finally I took them down yesterday to get de-skunked, or whatever you want to call it, so they wouldn't smell like a skunk. Because here it's very clean. You're obsessed, but you're already clean. Okay? Because of the word I have spoken to you. So here's the word. You want to know the word? What's the word?
The word is God.
Yes, the word is God, and God is love. But look at this. It says, remain in me. Here's the word. Remain. Connected. Don't drop off. Don't separate yourself. Remain connected to the vine. Remain connected. It says, and let's read on. So it says, remain in me and I will what? And here's a promise. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. Can you keep that promise? Can you? God always keeps his promises. Don't ever judge God on how we as humans interact with each other. We're always blowing it. We're always doing something to make the other person unhappy. We're always breaking promises. This whole idea of, New Year's, we always make big promises. And very seldom do we keep them. God always keeps and fulfills his promises. Do not judge him through the eyes of humans. And so what does it say? Remain in me and I will what? I will remain in you. Okay? So no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Some of us that are a little older remember a man by the name of Jim Jones. In fact, I lived in the same town shortly where he lived. We also, those of us that are a little bit younger, will remember David Koresh. And I'm only using two examples of many hundreds of people who have separated themselves from the vine and have said, I am the vine, and they're a fruit. And a fruit that's disconnected eventually rots. Okay? And we have witnessed the rotting of individuals who have poisoned the lives of other people. It's called cults. And any religion, any cult, any movement that separates itself from the vine, from the truth that Jesus is presenting here for us, from the vine, and separates themselves from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to turn rotten. Just watch it long enough. Watch it long enough. I've lived long enough. I've watched six of these people turn to rot. Okay? So we know the consequences of being separated. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in what? In me. Remain in Christ. Separate yourself from Christ and you've gone your own way. Stay connected to Christ and all of his promises will come true. Because he promised them and he will fulfill them in your life. So, I am the vine. He's saying it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can do nothing. Paul says what? I can do nothing except what? In Christ Jesus. I can do all things. He says that over and over again. Okay? If anyone does not... I already read that. I'm sorry. And then down to verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Whose disciple are you? Christ's disciple, right? What kind of fruit are you going to bear? Fruit that comes from God. Number one is to love. Love one another as Christ loved the church. Now, here's another, taking this analogy a little further, this little visual aid. When you are connected to the vine, And the fruit that you produce is going to be fruit that's consistent with what the vine is producing. You cannot produce fruit that is not consistent with what the Spirit is telling you. Okay? That's a whole other topic we're going to get into eventually here. But if you're connected to the vine, then your fruit is going to show that you're connected to the vine. If you're disconnected from the vine, I guarantee you that if you leave that papaya out for at least another 2 days, nobody's going to eat it. Well, they shouldn't. It's going to be pretty bad. Because I've had papayas that have sat out, and they mold really fast. If you're connected to the vine, and if the Spirit of God is flowing through you, the fruit that you produce, the things you ask for. Remember he said, whatever you ask, what you ask for is going to be consistent with what the Spirit says. Oh Lord, I'm a Christian now. I deserve a Ferrari. I'm a Christian now. You promise whatever I ask, Lord. I need a house down in Corona del Mar by the ocean there. Lord, you know, is that consistent, really, with what the Spirit? Man, if that were the case, everybody would become a Christian because we'd have all the wonderful things we desire in our hearts. But the desires of our heart are not the same as the desires of what the Spirit wants to do in us. The Spirit wants to produce good fruit. And God wants to come along and trim it a little so that you'll produce more fruit. It's a life of fruitfulness, folks. And we have people standing around bored to death with life. Bored to death because they want to produce, but they're trying to produce the fruit that does not come from the Spirit. Back to our passage in 2 Peter that we read earlier. And this one dovetails right into the one that we just read in John. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and what? What does it say? Are you reading it? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything? Yeah. Oh, but everything. Everything according to what? Me? Or everything according to the Spirit? If you're living by the Spirit and God and Christ is in you and you are in Him, then the fruit that comes from that relationship, that connection to the vine, produces godliness. And if it produces godliness, then anything outside of that is the production of godlessness. Right? And we know what the fruit of that is, don't we? I hope you can tell the difference. There's a vast difference between godliness and godlessness. If you hadn't noticed, open your eyes, listen up, pay attention. It's all around, okay? But godliness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the, do I dare say it? Divine nature. Whoa, you mean I can become God? No. It says participate. It doesn't say you're going to become God and go off to Ghana and start your own little village where people die. No, because if you're connected to the Spirit and you are in Him and He is in you, the fruit of that is going to be love, goodness, peace, all the fruits. But here's an interesting thing. Let's move on here. He says that you're going to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So if you think of evil desires, none of you have those, I know, because you're Christians. You don't have evil desires. No, of course not. The way you know if it's an evil desire or not is by simply asking yourself the question, is this from God or not? Okay? Is this from God or not? Do the fruits of how I'm living, do they glorify God and uplift God and uplift the Spirit, or do they glorify the human nature, the sinful nature? All right? And escape the corruption in the world because caused by evil desires. For this very reason, and here it is. Okay, I know there's people out there saying, give us a path forward. Show us a map. How do we know all these fruits and everything that we're living is of God? Well, here's something interesting. You like checklists? Look at this one. And I like the way it starts out. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Oh, I thought faith was all I needed. Faith in God is all you need for salvation. But as you live the life of a Christian, as you follow Jesus, as you stay connected to the vine, guess what? Look at this. Add faith to goodness. And to goodness, add knowledge. There's nothing worse than an ignorant Christian. They get on one track. They pick one fruit and they go, oh, this is it. If I just follow this, eat this fruit, then I'm going to be everything that God wants me to be. No. So add knowledge, and to knowledge add, oh man, really? Self-control? Come on. Peter, leave that one out. Really, Peter? You ought to know. Peter didn't have self-control. He could make the air turn blue with his cursing. He was a sailor. He was a rough and tough, mean guy. He was ready to pull out the sword and stab one of the guards that came to take Jesus in the garden. Self-control. Do you think the Peter before the cross was the same Peter after the cross? No. No. Because he learned the importance of connecting himself with the vine, Jesus Christ. And to self-control. Oh, come on, can't we stop at that? Perseverance. When you hear the word perseverance, what word do you think of? What other words do you think of? Go, go, go. What phrases? Never give up. Never give up. Well, things aren't going so well as a Christian. Maybe I should try something else. Paul says to persevere. Peter says to persevere. All the disciples said, persevere. And all of them lived in wonderful mansions, including John, who lived on the island of his own, the island of Patmos, with a beautiful mansion. Is that how the story goes? No. Their perseverance led to persecution and death. Well, now wait a minute. That's not what I heard on television. Mm-mm. No. I heard that if you did this and this and this, that God would bless you and give you all the money you needed so that you can live in a million-dollar home like me. That's why I have this beautiful million-dollar home. That's why I drive around in expensive cars. It's because God has blessed me. Wow. So far from the truth. Does God bless people with funds? Yes. But those funds are also blessed to what? Bless others. If you want to know a story that has that beautiful message in it, look it up on your little magic boxes. The story of the people who founded the craft store. Monday? Is it called Monday? What's it called? Tuesday? Wednesday? Yeah, Tuesday morning. Look it up. Every penny they get in their business, they give it back to God. And they are, it's an awesome story. Look it up. They helped found several large outreach ministries in Orange County. It's a beautiful story. Anyway, so what does it say now? To add knowledge to, and then self-control, and from self-control to perseverance, and from perseverance to godliness. And then from godliness to what? Kindness. And then what? Love. Well, take a look at that nice little list there. I won't ask you to say, but where do you think you are in that? Okay, well, maybe you're already at the love to all, to your enemies, to your neighbors, to everybody. That's good. But ultimately, being connected to the vine leads us to experiencing God's kingdom. And that kingdom living, as the title says this morning, is a kingdom of love. And please don't let anybody else try to define for you the kingdom as being otherwise. Because it might be a definition, but it might also be a fruit plucked from the branch or from the vine that looks good, tastes good, but eventually it's going to rot. Stay connected to the vine. Let Jesus in so that you can be, he can be in you and you can be in him. Let the Spirit lead. Let the Spirit feed you. Let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit take you out of your little box and move you in directions you never ever dreamt you would be going. Let the Spirit take control of your life. I know that's hard. It's hard to do because we want to control it all. We are a generation and a nation of control freaks. We're going to control everything. Everything that happens around us. And if we can't, we scream and we holler and we riot and we do all kinds of things to get our way. But remember that God is ultimately in control of everything. He is. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar thought he wasn't, and he learned a lesson. He ate grass for 7 years. I don't mean the kind of grass you all are thinking about. God said to Nebuchadnezzar, don't forget, I am the one that created this great nation of Babylon for you. And I'm in power. And Nebuchadnezzar one day walked out on his back porch and looked out across the top of the beautiful city. And he said, look at this beautiful city that I have created. That I have created. iPhone, iPad, I have created this world, this little world that I have with 3,000 friends that like me all the time with their little faces up there. I have created this wonderful little warm place that I live. It's a wonderful place. But folks, God says, no, I am the one that created it. And maybe you need to see for once who really is in control. He sent Nebuchadnezzar out for 7 years. He ate grass like a cow. And then God brought him back and reestablished him as king. He had learned a lesson. I pray that none of us have to learn the lesson that way. Stay connected. Stay connected. Do not stray from the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we're so thankful that in the Bible, it clearly shows us that you are the one that is the source of life eternal. That it's through the guidance of your Spirit that we can have this eternal life, but we have to stay connected. Teach us, Father, each day. Help us to learn the lessons for each day so that we can become a true, loving community of believers. We pray in your name. Amen.